Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the No Halftime app. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store and on Amazon.com. I'm Kyle McEwen. Thank you for listening to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA, and I'm joined tonight by Tyler Watts. You can find on Twitter at Wattsy4444. That's Wattsy 4444. I got that right, Tyler?
You nailed it.
Thanks, man. All right, we're going to sit and talk a little bit about the games for Wednesday, DFS slate for Wednesday, November 2nd. We're going to take a look at all 10 games. We're going to give you our picks at each of the positions. And as we see a fit or as we see an opportunity to, we will try to sprinkle in a little bit of the year-long conversation. But looking at this, we got 10 games. Some of the bigger over-unders is the Portland at Phoenix game. You got a 215.5 over-under. So there's going to be a lot of points scored there. You're probably going to be looking at potentially using, you know, all the big names out of Portland, Phoenix. And then you're also going to want to make sure to check the injuries on that one because Devin Booker might be sitting out. The other big over-under is 213.5, and that's – we talk about it every night. It's always Houston. Houston at New York, that's going to have some interesting plays to take a look at. Some blowout potentials. The Philadelphia 76ers at the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte is favored by 12 points, so pretty big blowout potential there. And then the Lakers at Atlanta, pretty big blowout potential there. Atlanta is favored by 11 points. So take that into account if you're, the possibility that in those big blowouts, some of the starters get rested and they throw out a bunch of garbage guys at the end of the game. So you end up not having the big minutes you were expecting out of the starters from guys like Atlanta or even Los Angeles. Second day of back-to-back. There's a slew of them there, Tyler. Why don't you give us a rundown on all the second day of back-to-backs we got?
Yeah, we got a ton of them tonight. We got the Blazers, Lakers, Memphis Grizzlies, the New York Knicks, Utah Jazz, New Orleans Pelicans, Detroit Pistons, Philadelphia 76ers, and the Houston Rockets are all playing the second night of a back-to-back.
It's 9 teams playing the second night of a back-to-back, so you're not going to be able to avoid that, most likely. You're going to have somebody in your lineups that is playing on the second night of a back-to-back. Just make sure you're picking the right ones. And is there anybody playing on the first night of a back-to-back?
Yeah, we got 2 teams playing on the first night of a back-to-back, the Boston Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
So they'll play Wednesday and Thursday. All right, that's kind of the lay of the land. Let's just get right into it. And Tyler, why don't you kick us off? Who should we be looking at as far as our point guard picks for Wednesday night slate?
Well, obviously, top option on the board and the most expensive guy of the night is Russell Westbrook. He's obviously averaging a triple-double this season. They're at the Clippers tomorrow, and he would be $12,000 on FanDuel. I dug this up. Last year, he averaged 27 points, 12.3 assists, 7.5 rebounds, and 2.5 steals against the Clippers. So, and that was with Kevin Durant, so good Lord knows what he's going to do now that he's running the show by himself.
Yeah, and the thing is, you see that huge price tag for Westbrook, the 12 grand, but it's actually down 1,000. It was up to 13 grand on a couple nights ago, so that's interesting to see that you're getting a little bit of a discount from a certain perspective, but he's been getting 60-plus points almost every single night. He had 58 points on the first game, 80 points in the Thunder second game, and then another 68 FanDuel points in the Thunder's third game. So you're likely going to get value on Westbrook. There's no reason not to throw him in your lineup because you're going to get all the points that you're paying for.
I totally agree there. And then he's matching up against Chris Paul, who's 9,000. Now he hasn't hit that value yet this season. Really. But, I mean, going up against Westbrook, who's got to do so much on the offensive end, you got to feel that Chris Paul's got a good chance to finally meet the value against the Thunder.
We've seen 41, 31, and 44 FanDuel points out of Chris Paul so far this season. So 9,000 might scare me off a little bit, but you're right. Eventually he's going to end up hitting that mark of about 45 points. And we saw him put up plenty of 50 point nights, even a couple 60 point nights last season. So you know that Paul is capable of doing that.
Totally agree. Then we got the game that you highlighted at the beginning, Damian Lillard against Eric Bledsoe. Lillard's 9.9K, which I thought was a little bit high. What do you think about playing him tomorrow?
It's high, but he's had a couple of 50 point nights. You know, we always talk about hitting value. You want to get 5 points per essentially every $1,000 you spend. So if you're hoping to, if you're spending 99.9K on Lillard, you're hoping to get about 50 points out of him. And then there's a good chance you're going to do that. And then looking at the matchup against Phoenix, I don't know why you wouldn't want to have Damian Lillard in a lot of lineups, definitely your tournament lineups and even your cash lineups. He's just a good play on Wednesday night.
Totally agree there. And then he's matching up against Bledsoe. And, I mean, we all know Lillard has some trouble on the defensive end. I actually really like Bledsoe tomorrow at 7.5K. I think that seems like a real good value.
Yeah, definitely. The problem with Bledsoe is we haven't seen him kind of go off yet this season. And if it's going to happen, you would think, well, if Devin Booker potentially sits out another game on Wednesday, which Booker is questionable with that sprained toe that he has, then you would think that there's going to be more opportunity for Bledsoe to kind of show out and put up one of those big nights that we know he can. But we haven't seen him break that 40-point threshold yet this season. We've seen him put up 28, 37, 38, and 26 FanDuel points over the first four games. So I'm comfortable spending 7.5K on Bledsoe, and I think that he's going to get at least – he's pretty much going to hit value for you. But those two games where he didn't so far, it does kind of make you wonder, is Earl Watson just not – giving Eric Bledsoe his due this year, or are they marginalizing him in the rotation enough that he's just not getting the usage rate that he used to get?
So. I totally agree. I think they're trying to make it Devin Booker's team, but like you said, Devin Booker might sit out.
Yep.
So, I mean, that could make a big difference too. Totally. Next guy we kind of wanted to get to, Mike Conley. Now, what was his situation? No, he just sat out because of rest, right?
Yeah, it's the Grizzlies have had like four games in five nights, and they rested Conley and Gasol in that first back-to-back set just by managing their minutes in the two games. But for this back-to-back set on Tuesday and Wednesday, they decided to rest Conley and Marc Gasol. So that's good. You know, as far as looking at the fact that you know Conley's going to play on Wednesday night and he should get his regular complement of minutes, so you do like that. He is at 6.6K, and so you're going to be expecting about, you know, what, close to 35? You don't want between like 33 points out of him or so? And I don't know if I trust Mike Conley to get that, but given that he rested, we might see another 38 minutes out of him. And on that second game of the back-to-back set, when Conley wasn't getting rested a few nights ago, he played 38 minutes. He put up 40 FanDuel points. So you could throw Conley into a tournament lineup and just hope that this is another one of those situations where Coach Fizdale is going to give him a buttload of minutes. And that's something that's kind of just – there's a lot of ambiguity about minutes right now because there are so many new coaches, whether you're talking about Kenny Atkinson – we're talking about Fizdale with the Grizzlies. We don't know exactly what they're going to do on every night because we're still trying to figure out what the method is to their madness. The fact that Fizdale rested Conley and Gasol on Tuesday night, that was like shortly before the game tipped off. That was announced. So we're still trying to, you know, we're still kind of figuring out all the quirks to all the new coaches.
Oh yeah, I totally agree, and I've ran into some trouble with that so far this year, but I think it's slowly working out the kinks.
Just Mike Conley, like this situation is something that we've already seen the back to back, and how Fizdale has handled it. Now we're seeing it again, and you know Conley sat out on Tuesday, so there should be tons of minutes available to him. So, yeah, I like that.
Totally agree. Next guy, I just love this matchup tomorrow. Dennis Schroeder, 6.5K. They're facing the Lakers. Lakers are on a second night of a back-to-back. The Lakers have been playing little to no defense. And, I mean, this guy needs 32.5 FanDuel points to get the value. And I think he's going to breeze past that tomorrow. What do you think about Schroeder?
You like the matchup against the Lakers, except for the fact that the potential blowout, then maybe Schroeder doesn't get the minutes that you need for him to put up the kind of value that he should. But as far as defensively going up against the Lakers guards, yeah, you're not afraid of D'Angelo Russell or Lou Williams or anybody that they're going to throw at you. So I mean, from that perspective, I do think Schroeder's a good, probably better tournament play to just say like, okay, I'm putting him in. I like the potential for him to destroy the Lakers, but I don't know if I'd be putting him in my cash games.
Totally agree with that. Next guy, we got Tim Frazier, 5.5K. He's facing the Grizzlies. He's had more than 40 FanDuel points in three of his four games this season. What do you think about the matchup with Memphis?
It doesn't matter right now. The only team that caused a problem for Frazier was San Antonio, and he put up 18 FanDuel points against them. And then, as you pointed out, his other three games, he's put up 40 FanDuel points. And they've kept his salary at around this 5.5K mark. You have to keep putting Tim Frazier in your lineups and just capitalize on it for as long as Jrue Holiday is out.
I totally agree. He's going to be a staple in my lineups tomorrow. Now, number eight, this one's kind of a question mark. Both Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley are questionable tomorrow. And then you got Terry Rozier, 3.5K versus Chicago. I kind of only think you're going to want to play him if Thomas sits out. But, I mean, if Thomas sits out, that could be a boat ton of minutes for him.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas fell on his tailbone in the Celtics last game. And But I think he practiced on Monday, so I'm not super worried about Isaiah Thomas. Seems like he's going to be good to go. Marcus Smart is returning, so that's going to be something to take into account. But Avery Bradley, the issue there is that he did not participate in practice on Tuesday. And the reason for that was that he was dealing with some soreness in his shoulder, and they were going to have him go get checked out. We won't know until Wednesday morning exactly what the severity of Bradley's injury is. But the kind of the overriding feeling from all the reports was that it's not expected to be a big deal. But should have, you know, I'm a little bit scared. I was getting excited about Avery Bradley. It had so many, you know, he just had 8 3-pointers the other night, and I just hope he's not. I hope he's not injured. Like, I don't want to recommend Terry Rozier for fear that we're like tipping the scales of fate.
I totally agree with that. Bradley has been playing awesome too. So I mean, you just don't want to see a guy go down when he's playing so well.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. So those are the point guards that we like for Wednesday night. Looking at shooting guard though, as soon as you get to the top of the list, Harden, 11.2K. He's playing at New York. You love the matchup there. And Harden put up 72.9 FanDuel points on Tuesday at Cleveland. He's just this new Rockets offense, it's going to lead to some amazing games. And at 11.2K, I think you've got a good chance of Harden. Look, you got to put him in your tournament lineups. If you are afraid of investing that much money in him, or you don't want to spend that much money on him, fine, but throw him in a couple of tournament lineups, because if he can put up those crazy big games that can help you win the tournament.
I totally agree. I mean, hard to bet against James Harden at this point.
And then another guy to consider, CJ McCollum, 7.3K. You don't necessarily love the price that you're paying there, but you love that matchup at Phoenix. It's just going to be a high-paced game, and with two teams that kind of focus all of their offense on their guards, you just hope that they don't play much defense on each other is what I'm hoping to see.
I think that's probably what you will see, so it's a safe bet.
Good deal. Another guy that I like is DeMar DeRozan, 8.1K at Washington. Through his first three games so far, DeRozan's put up 42, 44, and 42 FanDuel points. that's he's getting value for you. So it's just a safe play, and you're going to get big points.
Clicking on the FanDuel thing to see 105 points scored in three games, actual points, not FanDuel points, just jumps right off the page. Like, he's just been crazy, scoring at a crazy high rate. And, I mean, got to bet into the winning streak, right? I actually really like him tomorrow against Washington.
Yeah, yep. And Dwayne Casey, somebody, like, questioned him today about the offense that Toronto runs and the fact that it is so ISO heavy and that they rely so much on DeMar DeRozan. And he was like, look, these are the guys I have. You think I don't know that there's other options out there for offense that we could play? But you go to your strengths, and the guy I have, or the guys I have, are DeRozan and Lowry, and they're really good scoring with the ball. So that's what we do. So it was kind of fun to see him kind of get worked up. 'Cause he said, you know, I'm not a complete moron. He said that to the media, and it was just kind of like, whoa, all right, dude. I guess maybe we should all back off. You know what you're doing, and you guys are winning, so good for you. Eric Gordon, another guy to consider, 5.3K at New York. Another you like the matchup, and then Gordon's a safe play. He's going to get close to value, or he's going to get value at 5.3K for you. He's going to score 20 points or over, close to 25. And then at New York, I feel like there's the potential for him to do a little bit better. I just feel like it's a safe play.
Yeah, I mean, you love that offense D'Antoni's running, just letting him fire three-pointers. I think it's a pretty safe play.
And we even saw on Tuesday night, Gordon was out there. It wasn't for long, but there was a stretch where Eric Gordon was left out there as the point guard. It was him and KJ McDaniels in the backcourt. They didn't have Harden out there. They didn't have anybody else out there, Tyler Ennis or Bobby Brown. So that's my puppy. Beyond Eric Gordon, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has had two back-to-back really nice games, 28 and 35 FanDuel points. The Pistons are playing at Brooklyn. He's just 4.5K, so it just seems like you don't usually – I don't like to recommend chasing points, you know. Caldwell-Pope can go up and put up a complete dud because a lot of his value is kind of tied to whether or not he's hitting his shots. And he's definitely been hitting his shots the last two games at ridiculous rate that's not sustainable. But at Brooklyn, I like the situation. I like the price. And that's the one thing that's, you know, when we say don't chase points, the problem is that sometimes the salary is just still too good. So maybe chasing points means – it's more just to say, don't chase points unless you have a reason to keep going back to the well. So, and with Caldwell-Pope at 4.5K, I think there's reason to keep going back to that well.
I mean, yeah, to hit the value of 4.5K, you're looking at like 22 to 23 FanDuel points. I think that's a pretty easy get, especially against Brooklyn, who has been playing the greatest defense in the world. I like that.
Cool. Hey, thanks for agreeing with my pick. Alan Crabb at 4.3K against Phoenix. Crabb's been putting up decent numbers, close to value every single night. 4.3K, this is more of a recommendation of saying, if all you've got left is 4.3K and you need to fill your shooting guard slot, consider Alan Crabb, because I think he'll at least give you value for what you spend on him, especially in that game against Phoenix.
Can't argue with that.
Thanks, homie. And then Brandon Knight at 5.8K against Portland. This is mostly just like a – if Devin Booker's out, they started Brandon Knight in the last game with Devin Booker out. You would hope – this is a tournament play for me. I'm not putting Brandon Knight in any of my cash lineups because he'll go out there and he'll do nothing sometimes. He'll do nothing. But this is a good situation for him. It's a high-scoring game. And he's at a decent price at 5.8K.
I totally agree. I just think that if I'm only playing him if Booker sits out. But if Booker's out, you know how bad that Portland backcourt defense can be. And maybe Brandon Knight, who has been known to go off a time or two, goes off and gives you some great value.
Now, we didn't talk about Booker, but the fact that he's dealing with a sprained toe right now, even if – and he had played through that sprained toe through two games, which – that makes me feel good because watching Booker, his shot was off. He was definitely fighting. Thinking back to it now, you say to yourself, all right, yeah, he was fighting through this toe pain, and he was out there for big minutes against Oklahoma City. And you're like, all right, cool. You can see the kind of silver lining of the situation, even though he wasn't hitting his shots. But it makes me feel a little bit better about Booker's value changing more quickly if he can get healthy. So I almost hope he actually sits out on Wednesday, just because I want him to get over this toe sprain so he can come out and start putting up the stats that I overdrafted him for.
I totally agree. I actually really love Booker. Guys who listen to the podcast last year will have known and heard my love for Booker. So I'm hoping he gets healthy and gets back to playing.
What do you got for us at small forwards? What'd you see there?
Top play on the board is Carmelo Anthony, 7.5K against Houston. Now, he hasn't reached the value you need for 7.5K yet this season, but they're playing the Rockets, who play defense maybe never. And it's Carmelo Anthony. I mean, would it be crazy to see him drop in a 30-point game? I mean, a 30-real-point game, I don't think it would be that nuts.
You don't necessarily love the fact that Trevor Ariza is going to be matched up on Carmelo, but you do like that price. The 7.5K for Carmelo is nice. There definitely is the potential for him to put up a lot bigger night, and he scored 33 or 34 FanDuel points on Tuesday against Detroit in 35 minutes. He's played 35 minutes each of the last two games. If there's one thing that concerns me with Carmelo on Wednesday, it's that the potential for Hornacek to say, okay, we're going to limit your minutes because it's the second night of a back-to-back. And then, you know, oh, man, it would be so awesome. We saw at the start of – on Tuesday night, the start of the Cleveland game, Kevin Love was just eating Brian Anderson alive. I would really love it if Hornacek just said, hey Noah, you're gonna come off the bench tonight, brother, okay? We're going to start KP at center, and we're going to put Carmelo at power forward, because he's going to go out there and he is going to destroy Ryan Anderson. Because I don't know if – I mean, maybe D'Antoni would then just start Ryan Anderson at center, but then Kristaps would destroy him. Oh, this is why you don't – construct crap rosters, Phil Jackson.
Yeah, no, that Knicks roster in general is just very, very strange to me. But I totally agree with what you're saying, but who knows what we're going to see.
No, and that's just it. The dealing with Hornacek, kind of like we were talking about earlier with some of the coaches, Hornacek's new in New York. We don't know what his game plan is with Carmelo. We don't know how Carmelo's knee is feeling this year. Is he cool? Is he good? Does he need that rest on the second night of a back-to-back? I don't know. But that's definitely something I would just keep an eye on. You know, check the Basketball Monster Twitter feed, see if there's anything that gets retweeted or tweeted out about in regards to minutes distribution on Wednesday.
You want to give the Twitter a plug in case someone's not following?
I'm sorry. I just assumed – you know, people use a search function, but it is at Basque Monster. That's B-A-S-K Monster. All right, we got at small forward? I'm sorry.
It's all good. Next up, Jimmy Butler. Now, I'm interested to see what you think about Butler. He got 40.9 FanDuel points against Boston on opening night. So that's obviously a plus. But the last couple games, he's been down from that. So what are you thinking about Butler tomorrow?
It's hard for me to put much faith in the Chicago system right now, because I feel like we don't know. Hey, look, they're winning games, so that's cool. But I don't know exactly how it's going to break down every night, and I don't know how everything's going to kind of settle. I feel like there's a lot of sediment in the water there, and it's hard to see exactly what's going on underneath, and so that uncertainty scares me away from Butler. But you're right, he did put up 41 points against Boston on opening night, and they also got a little chippy that night too, so he might come into it with a chip on his shoulder. The other thing to consider too is that the 28 and 31 FanDuel points that Jimmy Butler put up in the last two games, those were blowouts. he only played 26 and 27 minutes. So he's putting up great per minute stats right now. So yeah, you know what? You talked me into it. That's you talked me into it. I can get behind some Jimmy Butler at Boston. I don't think he's my favorite play just because, but when you're looking at the lack of options there at small forward, as far as big money players go, you've got Jimmy Butler and you've got Carmelo. And then you've got guy like those are 79, you know, 7.9K and 7.5K for those two guys. And then the next highest priced guy is Jay Crowder at 6.1K. And then you're talking about TJ Warren at 5.5. Like, there's just not a bunch of good options at small forward on Wednesday night. So if you have to choose to spend big money on one of those two guys, whether it's Jimmy Butler or Carmelo, man, I don't love the Boston matchup, yet he's shown that he can do that. I think I would go with Jimmy Butler over Carmelo. I do.
This is definitely the worst position tomorrow, I would say. There's just not a lot of good options at small forward. And I could actually see a lot of people going for Butler and Anthony just because it's kind of a weak position. We're going to get to a guy who can save you a little bit. Some guys who can save you a little bit of money, though, here in a second. So maybe you're going to want to go with them, too. We'll see. The next guy up for us is TJ Warren, 5.5K against Portland. He's had more than 38 FanDuel points in two of his four games this year. And I just really like him against Portland tomorrow. What do you think?
It's we've seen 25, 44, 38, and 22 FanDuel points out of TJ Warren. He's just going to cost you $5,500, 5.5K. There's no reason not to throw him into your lineup. I mean, it's going to be hard for me not to have TJ Warren in my lineup at small forward, like for every single lineup. Because we just talked about the fact that the two options who are the high price guys aren't necessarily the most like just strong guys. I don't know. They don't make you feel safe and secure, you know? They don't make you feel like you're wrapped up in a blanket with them.
I totally agree with that. I mean, they're both kind of guys you could see like, oh, maybe Porzingis has the big game for the Knicks and Carmelo kind of takes a back seat, or, you know, maybe Wade or Rondo has a crazy game for Chicago and Butler takes a back seat. You just don't feel like super secure that they're going to dominate the game.
Well, and maybe Marcus Smart gets matched up on Jimmy Butler a bunch and that creates just a different situation than what Butler had on opening night, and then he doesn't score as much or gets left out of the offense or what have you. So there's different factors to take into consideration. If Avery Bradley is out, though, that is one more awesome defender who's not there to help stop all the different options on Chicago right now, because you do have to account for Dwayne Wade. You know, it's not like the whatever. I don't feel like I should have to say that, but anyways. What were we talking about? TJ Warren, we're done with that, yeah. Right? He's just an obvious option for that Portland Phoenix game.
I totally agree. Next guy up, Robert Covington, 4.9K.
Screw this guy.
He's had one good game, one terrible game, and one sort of okay game for his price. I don't love him. But like we said, the options are slim pickings tomorrow as well forward. So what do you think about Covington tomorrow against Charlotte?
All right, this is what I hate about Covington. It's the fact that he sucked on Tuesday night. He was 4.7K. You love the price that he had. Going up against Orlando, yeah, you don't like the matchup against Aaron Gordon. But you do like the fact that Jeremy Grant was traded from Philadelphia to the Oklahoma City Thunder on Tuesday. So with that trade going down, Jeremy Grant's kind of in limbo. Ersan Ilyasova, who was traded from the Thunder to Philadelphia, he's in limbo right now. There were extra minutes available to Robert Covington, yet he only played 28 minutes, and he put up 17 FanDuel points. He couldn't even hit value on a 4.7K salary. And he didn't score any points. This is two straight games where Robert Covington hasn't scored any points. Zero. Zero. Nothing burger. How does that happen? Your most discernible skill set is to score the ball, shoot it. How do you get zeros? So, yeah, I'm a little bit frustrated with Robert Covington. It's hard for me to see the silver lining with him. And it's and then he's getting matched up against Charlotte, who has – they're probably going to end up putting Michael Kidd-Gilchrist on him, and that's just not going to be fun either.
Totally agree there. Guy I do kind of like, 4.3K tomorrow, James Ennis from Memphis. They're at home against the Pelicans. I just think that this guy's going to get big minutes, and, you know, at the 4.3 salary, he doesn't really need to get you that many points. He's gotten 24, 21, and 23 in three out of his four games, and then he'll have just 11.8 in the last game, which is obviously something you don't want to see. What do you think about playing James Ennis tomorrow?
The big concern for me is, why did he only play 20 minutes on Tuesday night against Minnesota? Was it because it was a blowout, or was it because other play? So Tony Allen was back. Did Tony Allen actually play in that game? I feel bad for not knowing that as we record. But so Tony Allen was back, and Tony Allen played 19 minutes off the bench. There, oh man, now I'm worried that Tony Allen's gonna eat into James Ennis's minutes potentially. But Ennis should be. Regardless of if Tony Allen's there, realistically, Jarrell Martin should lose minutes. I say that, yet Jarrell Martin started and played 26 minutes on Tuesday. David Fizdale is doing some crazy stuff. Troy Williams, who had not played, I don't believe, this season yet, played 29 minutes on Tuesday. I don't know
what. Yeah, makes you scratch your head.
It really does. I mean, because. Yeah. It was fun to see Deontay Davis of Muskegon, Michigan play 26 minutes. He had 17 points, 6 rebounds, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Man, that's sexy. You go, boy. Big Reds. Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah, I am a little bit concerned. There's – we kind of like we said at the start of talking about small forwards, it's not – there's not a good crop. I would maybe consider looking at Jay Crowder at 6.1K, because in addition to Isaiah Thomas having that tailbone issue and Avery Bradley dealing with the shoulder issue, yes, Marcus Smart is coming back, but Al Horford also, he practiced on Tuesday, but he left right after the practice, did not talk to the media because he was ill. If Horford gets sicker over the course of, you know, Tuesday night and into Wednesday, maybe Horford sits out too. There's the potential here for Jay Crowder to capitalize on the absence of several other Celtics players and potentially put up a pretty nice game. So something to consider there if you're looking at somebody who's 6.1K and all you really want to get back is value. And I think it's reasonable to expect Jay Crowder to put up about 30 points.
I totally agree. And, I mean, just looking at the other options, I mean, I could see Crowder – being someone you throw in your lineup just because you're looking around and going, I don't really like much else here.
Totally. Biscuits. Yeah, that's about it. Who else? Is there anybody else at small forward we're looking at?
Not really.
All right, what about at power forward? What are we looking at there?
Power forward, big gun on the board. You got Anthony Davis, 10.7K at Memphis. What do you think about Davis tomorrow?
It's hard not to put him in lineups right now. You at least, like, it's fine if you think, okay, I'm going to be contrarian or I'm going to go away from Davis because he's owning 70% of lineups on Tuesday. But he's just playing too well. It's worth the buy. 10.7K. So what? He has to get 55 points. Well, 55 points on FanDuel. We've seen Anthony Davis put up 95, 77, and 67 in three of his four games. He put up 29 FanDuel points against San Antonio, which we've had this kind of theme going on when we talk about guys when they have their bad games. It's usually against a really good team, and a lot of times it's been against San Antonio this year. So yeah, Anthony Davis, he's a no-brainer to put into any of your lineups on Wednesday.
I totally agree there. Next guy up, Blake Griffin, 9.1K against Oklahoma City. I just think Blake could have a real good game against Oklahoma City tomorrow. What do you think about Blake Griffin?
9.1K. That's expensive. So you're talking, you got to get 45 FanDuel points out of him, essentially. And we've seen through his first three games, 53, 31, and 38. So I don't know if I want to spend the price on him with that. And then who do they put on him on defense? Is it because Steven Adams kind of scares me a little bit? But then they'll probably have Steven Adams, of course, guarding DeAndre. I like the matchup. I don't know if I'm completely sold on the price because I'm just – if I was going to put Blake Griffin in, maybe I'd throw him in like a tournament lineup and just kind of expect that Clippers and an OKC game is going to end up being just crazy because of the whole Russell Westbrook factor.
I kind of totally agree. I mean, when you got Davis, you got Harden, you got Westbrook. If you're going to pick one of them, it's going to be hard to get another 9.1K type of guy. And if you do have big money, you might want to just go for another one of them. So, I mean, I could see how it could be hard to make Blake fit into the lineup, even though it seems like a good matchup for him tomorrow.
Well, it's just I would rather spend the extra $1,600 and put Anthony Davis into my lineup. Or you could – If you want to go a little bit, you can go cheaper and get Paul Millsap at 8.4K, and he's actually been getting, you know, close to his value. He's been put 45, 20, 28, and 45 again. So, I think maybe the safer play might be Paul Millsap because the only game that Millsap has really sucked is it's against Philadelphia when they blew him out.
And they're playing the Lakers, too, which, I mean, you got to love that matchup for Millsap. Lakers been giving up a ton of points and not playing a lot of defense. So I could see Millsap dominating there tomorrow. Next guy on our list, I wrote him down as Kyle's favorite player, so I'll let you talk the most about him. 6.8K against Houston tomorrow, Kristaps Porzingis.
You love the matchup. He's Kristaps against Ryan Anderson. He should be able to feast, but we haven't seen Kristaps have a big game yet this season. He's had 28, 32, and 28 FanDuel points in his first three games. You need a little bit more than that. Just a little bit more. But we've also seen Kristaps play a pretty good amount of minutes, 32, 36, and then 30 minutes on against Detroit on Tuesday. Sorry about that. I'm probably going to throw Kristaps into some tournament lineups because I'm still just kind of waiting for that breakout. But let's say this. The Knicks have played Cleveland, Memphis, and Detroit. Houston's a much better matchup. Hell yeah. Let's put them in. Let's get Kristaps in all of our lineups, every single one. No, just throw Kristaps into some tournament lineups. I wouldn't throw him into my 50-50. He's putting up decent value. He's getting close to his value, but I probably wouldn't be using him in my 50-50. But against Houston, at home, Ryan Anderson's bum butt on defense. Yeah. Let's do some Kristaps on Wednesday.
I totally agree with that. Next guy on the board, Jermichael Green, 5.0K against New Orleans. Now, the trend's been going down for Jermichael Green, so that maybe that's not the best thing. But, I mean, he needs 25 points, which he hasn't quite gotten yet. But he's probably going to have to go against Anthony Davis, which you don't love. But I think that, I mean, he's a cheap option when there's not a lot of cheap options at power forward tomorrow.
Yeah, no, he's in a good spot. Jermichael Green, you know, starting at power forward, it's kind of like you said. He hasn't hit that. He hasn't hit that value yet, you know? So, it's possible. The Pelicans started Anthony Davis at center on Tuesday. They started Dante Cunningham instead of Omer Asik. So, it's possible that we actually see – no, they, Do they guard? Who do you think they guard Anthony Davis with? Is it more Jamichael Green or is it more Marc Gasol? Or will New Orleans go back to their bigger lineup and put AD at power forward and put Ashik at center again?
I think they're going to go back to the bigger lineup just because I don't think they want Davis guarding Gasol when Gasol's on offense. Personally, but it's not my decision.
Yeah, no. I mean, I realize that, but no, I agree. I probably agree that I think they're probably going to go back to the bigger lineup. Who else we got at power forward?
Next guy up, Markieff Morris, 5.8K against Toronto. The basketball monster projections that we use really liked Markieff tomorrow as far as a value play. So what do you think about Markieff?
Yeah, Markieff at 5.8, you're hoping to get about 30 points out of him FanDuel-wise. I think that's completely possible. He played 35 minutes in their last game, 28 minutes on the opening night. I like that he's had a couple days of rest. I do like that. I think Markieff's a good play. If you had told me I had to choose between Jamichael Green and Markieff, I'd be like, please God, let me have that $800 so I can get Markieff into my lineup.
Totally
so
agree.
Yeah, I like Markieff.
Totally agree with that. All right, so we got two more. Ryan Anderson, 5.5K against the Knicks. I just feel like in tournaments, Ryan Anderson is one of those guys who could hit like 8 threes in any one game. And the Knicks, you know, maybe don't play the greatest defense in the world. And if Anderson gets hot, I think you throw him to a tournament and maybe get lucky.
Yeah, I'm completely fine throwing Anderson into a tournament. He's been pretty frustrating, though, so far as not – we've seen 26, 27, 18, and 7.8 FanDuel night out of them so far. They've played Los Angeles, Dallas twice, and Cleveland. You definitely like the New York matchup better than the other ones, but I don't like Kristaps. I like New York as a team being crappy, but I don't like Ryan Anderson matching up against Kristaps Porzingis because, well, it's scary. It scares me a little bit.
All right, good punt play, kind of. I just kind of crossed my brain. Frank Kaminsky, 3.9K against Philadelphia. Now, he just came back from that injury, obviously. He's only played one game. But there's kind of that flux in Philadelphia tomorrow. Don't know if Ersan's going to play after the trade, all that. They're on the second of a back-to-back. I just think maybe Kaminsky could sneak in there in a tournament and give you some decent value against Philly at only 3.9K.
Yeah, I definitely think that he can hit value for you easy on that 3.9K. That seems like a simple task for him to accomplish. And the Hornets have talked about playing him more at center. As long as Roy Hibbert's out, I like that play. Definitely a good punt play.
Totally agree there. Ready to move on to the centers?
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right, I'll let you take the lead on this one because he plays for your Pistons. 8.0K tomorrow at Brooklyn for Andre Drummond. What do you think about Drummond tomorrow?
What do I think about Drummond tomorrow? And you know what? I've been talking him up a little bit from the perspective that he's looked really good lately. But he didn't have the most exciting game ever on Tuesday. Put up just 32.6 FanDuel points in 35 minutes against the Knicks. You would have looked at that and said, "Oh, that's a good matchup." One thing that scares me about Brooklyn is I'm okay with the price tag on Drummond, paying $8,000 for him, expecting him to get 40 FanDuel points. Yeah, that should be. That's pretty much all he has to get, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can definitely see that happening. What scares me about Brooklyn is watching the Pistons against Brooklyn in the preseason with even Brook Lopez stretching out to the three-point line. They always have five guys out there stretching out to the three-point line, essentially. And that pulls Drummond a little bit away from the hoop. So that scares me because that means he's not there for rebounds. And that's one of his biggest, you know, that's his biggest value. That's where he gets all of his fantasy points from, is from his huge rebound number. So something to consider. With that said, 36 and 35 minutes out of Drummond the last two games. That's awesome to see that Van Gundy is finding a way for Drummond to get out there and get big minutes. So I love that.
Totally agree there. This actually surprised me. This was one of the most surprising things of the night for me when I looked at the prices. Dwight Howard is the top center, 8.2K. Now you love the matchup tomorrow against the Lakers, but it actually really surprised me that his salary was that high. So what do you think about playing Dwight tomorrow?
I'm afraid that we've only seen 41 and 38 and a 17-point FanDuel production out of him so far. And then I just don't know if I'd want to spend that money on him. If I had to choose, you know, if you're sitting there, you only get to pick one center on FanDuel. So if you're sitting there and you have to pick between Drummond and Dwight Howard and you're looking to spend big, I think I'd rather take Drummond against Brooklyn than I would Dwight against the Lakers, simply because I'd be worried about that blowout potential.
I totally agree there. I actually thought Howard would fall like somewhere in the 7,000 range, and I thought he would be a decent play, but at 82, I just think it's a little too high for me. Next up, we got Rudy Gobert, 7.1K against Dallas. I don't know that I love this play tomorrow, but I mean, he's gotten 32.8 and 37.1 FanDuel points in his first two games, but then only 23 and 20 in the next two. So what do you think about playing Gobert tomorrow?
I think it's worth throwing him into a tournament lineup if you want to. We talked about the fact that game, the Utah and Dallas game, Dallas at Utah, has such a 188 over under. They're not expected to be a lot of scoring in this game. I'm fine throwing Gobert into some cheap tournament lineups to see what happens in this game. But at the same point, thinking to Dallas, Dirk is supposed to be healthy and back. Deron Williams is supposed to be – he practiced. He's supposed to be okay. J.J. Barea and Wesley Matthews both sat out. And there's the it just seems like there's those guys sat out practice on Tuesday. So there might be some guys out. You know what I'm always looking for? Whenever there's a shot blocker, I want to know, are guys going to be going to the hoop? Or is there going to be a bunch of jump shots? Because if guys are going to the hoop, then there's more of a potential for blocks to happen. So looking at Dallas's lineup, just in general, you know, you think of guys like J.J. Barea going to the rack a lot, but he's also super good at avoiding, you know, guys blocking his shot. So I wouldn't say that I love Gobert, but I could definitely see kind of going with him as a contrarian pick at 7.1, because it's he can definitely put up value on that.
Totally agree. Next two guys, they're going head to head against each other tomorrow, which we already talked about a little bit. DeAndre Jordan, 7.5K against Oklahoma City, and then you got Steven Adams, 5.0K at LAC. I was just kind of wondering which guy you'd rather have. Would you rather have Steven Adams or DeAndre Jordan tomorrow?
Steven Adams or DeAndre? I'm rooting for Steven these days. He put up 39 FanDuel points in the Thunder's last game, played 29 minutes. He's played 35, 39, and 29 minutes in the first three games. You love how much run Steven Adams is getting. He's scoring more points, real points, than what we anticipated, and even getting more steals than what we thought. So I definitely like the price on Steven Adams. I think it's getting Steven Adams into some of your tournament lineups is an obvious thing to do. I'd be comfortable with Steven Adams. I'd be comfortable with him at 5,000 in cash games, but for the most part, I'd be wanting him in there for my tournament lineups. And if I had to choose between those two, I think I'd I think I take Steven Adams just based on what we've seen so far this year. But at the same point, we know that DeAndre Jordan can go out there and put up 50-point games on FanDuel. So from that perspective, as far as whose ceiling is higher, probably Jordan's right now. But who I'm going to take out of those two, I'm going to take Steven Adams at 5K. That took way too long to get to. But thanks totally, for listening.
Totally agree with all that. I've actually been really surprised about how many shots, just like offensive possessions and usage that Steven Adams has gotten so far this season. And I actually really like Steven Adams at 5K tomorrow. All right, two more guys. We're almost done here. We got Gortat tomorrow, 5.9K against Toronto. The Basketball Monster projections really love Gortat tomorrow. So what do you got to say about him?
You like the fact that Gortat's had Mahinmi out all season so far. So Gortat's been able to get a little bit more of the run there. And you definitely are comfortable with the 5.9K price in a general sense. You like that you're getting somewhat of a discount on Gortat. He's went down from 6.5 to 6.3 and now to 5.9K. He's only put up 19 and 29 FanDuel points through the first two games that Washington's had, but he's played 32 and 37 minutes. He's getting the minutes. The opportunity is there. The price is right. I'm definitely okay using Gortat. I don't think that he's a high upside guy. Now, what about on this situation with the back-to-back with Philadelphia? On Tuesday, they started Embiid, and he played 24 minutes, and he had a huge game. I believe it was 18 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks. But on Wednesday, the Sixers are going to rest Embiid, and they're going to put Okafor into the starting lineup. And Okafor, they said like 2 days ago on Monday, or they said on Monday that Okafor was going to play 24-minute limit on Wednesday. And then on Tuesday, Coach Brett Brown from the Sixers said that Okafor was only going to play 20 minutes on Wednesday. Now, Jahlil Okafor is a $5,000 player. We saw Embiid put up a huge night on Wednesday, but Okafor is not the same player. Are you willing to take a risk on Okafor at 5,000 that he's actually going to get 25 FanDuel points? I don't know if that's going to happen. So I guess talking about Okafor in this whole situation, it was more or less just like just because Embiid blew up on Tuesday, don't look for Okafor to do the same. That's not going to happen.
Well, and I think that that's a mistake that some people are going to make is Embiid is real cheap at 4.8K. And I think I want to just get the point out there that he's not going to play. And so don't be looking to pick him. I mean, if you're filling out your lineup tonight, like right now I'm looking at FanDuel and they're not even saying that he's out tomorrow, but they've already said he's not going to play. So do not put Embiid in your lineup, because if you put Embiid in your lineup and you don't check it between now and then, you're getting a zero.
Holla, holla. But Embiid played just 24 minutes. And I'm sorry, I'm getting the stats on it right now. But I believe he put up 38 FanDuel points. Like, that's insanity. 24 minutes?
38.5 FanDuel points tonight. That is 100% factually correct.
And he was a 4.5K salary. So this is this – oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait for him to not have a minutes limit, because what kind of stats is Embiid going to put up? Oh,
He seems like he's going to be crazy good when he can get the training wheels taken off, so to speak.
Well, he had 3 assists on Tuesday night too. So that's super exciting. Oh, man. He'd only had 1 assist in the first 2 games. Yeah, sorry. I'm just sitting here drooling into my microphone about Embiid. What about this situation with Oklahoma City and Philadelphia, though? Jeremy Grant traded from Philadelphia to Oklahoma City. Ersan Ilyasova goes from the Thunder to the Sixers. Dario Saric had kind of been struggling a little bit, but he had a good game. He had a really good game on Tuesday. He played 31 minutes, put up 21 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, shot 60% from the field, took 15 field goal attempts, put up 25 FanDuel points, had just a 3.9K salary. Saric at power forward. Saric might be a decent play at power forward value-wise on Wednesday, but Ersan Ilyas, especially if Ersan Ilyasova isn't there yet. And Brett Brown said that all cards are on the table as far as – or everything is on the table as far as whether or not Ilyasova might start or come off the bench. I think this might have been a kick in the butt for Saric. Like, finally having somebody on the team who could threaten to take his power forward spot. Because with Ben Simmons out, there's no threat. With Nerlens Noel out, there's no real threat. With that said, the Sixers, Brett Brown did say the Sixers had contemplated or talked about the possibility of saying, you know what, we're just going to rest. We're gonna play Jahlil Okafor and Joel Embiid together on Tuesday. They thought about doing that, just starting those two guys together. And then I don't know if they would just manage the minutes over the back-to-back or if they both wouldn't play on the second night of the back-to-back or what. But the fact that it's really good for Dario Saric's path forward for the next few games at least, or the next game on Wednesday, that he had a good game Tuesday night. Because it sounds like Saric's role was somewhat in question. And it's even possible that, look, he has to hit three-point shots. He has to stretch the floor in order for the Sixers to play him next to Embiid and Okafor. At least that's the way it sounded from Brett Brown on Tuesday. So if Saric finally is figuring out, getting his groove in the NBA, maybe this will all work out. What do you think about Ilyasova on Philadelphia? What do you think about Jeremy Grant on OKC? Are either of these guys worth a pickup in standard leagues?
They're worth a pickup, I guess, in the sense that maybe you get a lottery ticket. I feel like Ilyasova is like the ultimate tease. I mean, we see a crazy game, you know, where he puts up 15 rebounds or 30 points and everyone thinks he's going to be wonderful. And then he just never gets the consistent minutes. So I'm not rushing out really to get either one of the two guys. Oklahoma City needs some wing players. So I could see Grant getting minutes, and he's good for like the defensive category, steals and blocks, but I'm not crazy big into getting either one of them.
If I was going to take a flyer on one of the two, it would be Jeremy Grant. And it's from the perspective that even if Ersan were to start, Brett Brown talked about Dario Saric like he wants him off the bench anyways. Like he wants to treat him as this do everything guy off the bench for the Sixers when Ben Simmons isn't in the game. When, man, how do you build a team around Joel Embiid? Because everything should be about Joel Embiid, everything. And when Ben Simmons comes back, oh, man, it's just going to be awesome. I can't wait. But anyways, what I was saying, essentially, I actually got lost kind of daydreaming. What was I saying exactly?
Well, I don't know, but all I wanted to say was it's crazy to think how, like, terrible the Sixers were to watch just, like, last year and the year before. And now how much your mouth waters thinking about watching them with Embiid, Simmons. Just, like, how great they could be.
Well, and that's just it. Everybody's down on Saric, too. He's going to be really good. He really is.
I was just really impressed with him in the preseason, like, the games that I saw. And then, like, the regular season, I get that he struggled, you know, kind of early on. But I really think he's going to be a good player.
He's going to be awesome. I guess a couple other things. So Jeremy Grant, he's a flyer for me. And then there's the possibility that maybe this Domantas Sabonis, maybe that doesn't work out. The Thunder have been playing him limited minutes even though they've been starting Sabonis at power forward, maybe they get Jeremy Grant and they're like, we're going to go with this crazy, like, essentially we're going to go Steven Adams and then we're going to be Atlanta. And we're just going to make Jeremy Grant our Paul Millsap. Like, we're just going to do that. And if that happens, then yes, Jeremy Grant has potential to be a not an efficient player, but somebody who goes out and gets you defensive stats, somewhat like Andre Robertson, only Robertson gets you more steals than blocks, whereas Grant would get you more blocks than steals, most likely. Right? That's how it goes. Some other guys who had some big nights on Tuesday, just really quick, Giannis put up 24 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks. He is everything. Giannis is everything. That's all. I just wanted to talk about Giannis for a minute because we didn't get the opportunity to talk about him yet. I don't have anything else to say.
He is amazing to watch. I'll give you that.
Cool. Got anything else?
No, that's about it for me, man. I think we got it pretty much covered.
Cool. I am Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. And this is?
Tyler Watts. You can find me on Twitter at Watsy4444. And sorry about the voice tonight. I'm a little sick. Hopefully it wasn't too bad.
Thanks for powering through, man. We appreciate it. Everybody, I know I appreciate it. Do you have any work anywhere going up right now or anything that you want to share?
I'm going to actually, either this week or next week, I'm going to bring back my stats, trends, and rest of season value column on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast.com.
Tight money.
You'll find some crazy articles I read about the Kings and the Trailblazers. If you just follow me on Twitter, I'll be tweeting them out.
Cool. All right, and of course, you can find all my work on Basketball Monster. Haven't written any articles yet during the regular season, but I'll be having one out this Thursday, and it's going to be kind of waiver wire, buy low, sell high, dynasty thoughts. Essentially, it's going to be this grab bag article that I do every week, the different sections might change from week to week, but I'll always make sure to include different waiver wire guys to consider for different league sizes, and then buy low, sell high guys to consider for trades and whatnot. And then when appropriate, when I have dynasty thoughts about, you know, how certain guys who are younger are playing, whether that's about how Marquise Chris is looking with Phoenix, or how Dragan Bender looked in his 7 minutes of action the other night. Like those things, that's what I'll get into. So, yeah, thanks for listening to the show, everybody. We love you, and have a good day. And we good luck on all your lineups Wednesday night. We love you. Peace.